Hey!
On today's episode of the Thriving in Ministry podcast, is your church successful? I'm Kyle Willis, founder of Talenton Church Services, and as always, or at least recently, we've got Phil Blunt.
Hey.
Director of Media Services, Improvement, Training, all that. And Director of Facilities, Matt Dotson.
How's it going?
Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being back. I know you guys, this was optional for you. We just said, hey, we're going
to
go.
It was?
Yeah.
I thought I had to be here. Okay. All right, I got to go.
No, it's fine. Phil's going to duck out halfway through this. But hey, today we're talking about, is your church successful? Or what is church success?
What does it mean to be successful?
Let's start there. What does it mean?
What's success?
Matt?
Am I first?
Success.
Matt first?
No, Matt's going to go first. Okay,
success.
He's on ChatGPT
no
again.
No ChatGPT.
In church, to me, are you asking me personally?
You. Yeah.
Okay. Success personally in church looks like you have a growing population.
A growing congregation.
Congregation, yes. You have a growing congregation, I guess.
Numerically population. Growing.
Yeah. So constantly a new, not in a constantly, but I guess success looks like a growing congregation in the sense of numbers, but also in the sense of growing in their faith, growing in their walk, growing as disciples, growing in the congregation's ministry outside of the four walls of the church.
Yeah. So it's width and depth.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so if you look as a tree, right, it's getting taller,
it's getting
deeper roots.
But the roots are growing deeper, and the fruit is plentiful.
Ooh, fruit.
So
that's what success looks like, I think.
That's what
I think
success,
that's my answer, no?
If we were to refer, and I would do a grapevine instead of a tree, even though, because I'm familiar with grapevines, but successful grapevines, roots can grow extremely deep.
Really?
Extremely deep. And here's another nugget for you guys. Grapevines that are not overly saturated, roots will grow deeper in the ground. Right. Where a
what do you mean saturated?
Less water. Yeah.
Yeah. Irrigation. Oh. Overly saturated.
So if you overfeed them.
If you overfeed a grapevine, its roots will grow wide instead of deep.
Interesting.
So if you cause a little bit of stress, if you put a little strain on this grapevine,
growth mindset, go back to
the roots will grow deeper and deeper and deeper, which over time causes the grapevine to strengthen.
Yeah.
But if you oversaturate it at the beginning of its life, its roots will grow out.
That's why they talk about like old vines,
yes.
Old vine vineyards.
Old vines have very, very deep roots.
Well, Phil, I think we just answered. I think this is our shortest podcast ever. I mean, Matt.
Thanks for joining us today on the Thriving in Ministry podcast.
Actually, you disagreed,
I have a disagreement.
You said no.
It's just an experience. And I would have said, you know, for all the years that I was a worship leader, I would have said definitely if we're not growing numerically, our church has a problem. And I might still agree with that on some level. However, let me say this. I was a part of two different churches that had a real strength in discipleship, in bringing people from where they were in life to a much greater understanding of who they are in Christ, or of just Scripture as a whole, or you know, there were, each church kind of had its own strength, but there was such incredible spiritual growth and life change that took place in those churches. I've never seen anything like it. That. Outside of those places, I've seen, you know, I've been around a lot of churches as a musician, traveling and stuff like that, but I've never seen the kind of life change that I saw, long-term life change, in those places. That was their strength, but they both sort of leaked out the back door. people.
They both failed.
They didn't both fail. One of them has continued to grow much more slowly than we ever wanted it to. But it has continued to grow. So, you know, maybe it's more successful holistically. But I would never, I would have at the time said that that first church that I was a part of was a failure in some ways, because numerically it eventually dwindled and they merged with another church and kind of, they as an identity are no more. But I look at the lives of the people, and this is, when we were talking about the last podcast about profit, I thought so many people left that church, and it frustrated me at the time. They left that church and went to other churches, and every single one of them went to those churches and made an impact and served
at their new church.
At their new church. So that's profit. You know, that's spiritual profit. And that church, that pastor was incredibly successful in that way. I would never want to say that whole ministry just wasn't a tremendous success, even though at the time it was frustrating that it wouldn't grow numerically because people would come and they would leave. So, but you know, did Jesus' church grow during his ministry?
Right.
It did not.
Well, he
started with 12 and ended with 12.
Okay.
Yeah. It grew and then he shrunk it. I mean, look at when he told the people to eat his flesh and drink his blood, he ran people off.
I get that.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, I understand what you're saying.
In that way, there was growth in the church, but it wasn't, we didn't see the growth, and that was frustrating. So when you say the population of the church has to grow, maybe not this little C church, but definitely the big C church, the population of the big C church grew, even though we didn't see it, it was frustrating. So that's my little point of disagreement. Everything else I totally agree with.
So I think when we talk about success in a church, we have to define it a little bit and go, you know, is success for the pastor who is stewarding, right? He's faithfully serving, or is success buildings and land and people and metrics, right? That matter we're talking about. So I don't know. And I've struggled with this, I guess is what I'm saying, is that I've struggled with what does success look like? And honestly, even what I get to do and the way that we get to serve churches, it's one of those things that I think I've come to the conclusion that quote unquote successful churches are successful because they were doing things right. They were being intentional over a long period of time before the fruit started coming. Right. And I think that I've seen churches that are quote unquote not successful have hiccups along the way, have parts where they doubted or where they mismanaged or they didn't fill in the gaps where they were supposed to. At the end of the day, I think we would agree that a successful church probably takes action and it takes a commitment. However you define success, I don't see that action and commitment are not part of those. Now, this could lead us down a whole different topic of faith-based works or, you know, am I doing this and God's going to bless me or our church? You know, I think when we're talking about success, there is that breadth and depth. So there is this spreading out and multiplication, and there is this depth. And we see that with Jesus as an example. He had more people following him, yet he did divide, right? He did conquer and say, okay, hey, if you're not really with me, go. And so I see what you're saying. And ultimately, yes, it was his closest disciples there at the end.
Right.
But
yeah, that's not. I'm not really trying to make a point of theology about that.
It's okay. just a point of observation.
It's just an observation. So, I mean, he started with 12 and ended with. Well, maybe at 120.
Here's a problem, and maybe I'll just pivot here and ask: like, is success addicting, Matt? You've been taken out of the church world, Matt. You've been trying to eat healthier. You're on a 75 soft plan, right?
Yeah, 75 medium.
75 medium.
Over medium.
Squishy. 75 squishy plan. Yes. Is success, you've seen a little bit of success, maybe you dropped a few lbs or eating better.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Is success 100%. Addicting?
Is it addicting?
Like,
Yeah, because I want to keep going.
Okay.
Like, my pants fit nicer. Cool. My shirts are fitting a little better, and I want to keep going. Like, I don't want to stop. I want to keep this up. Like, I'm seeing the numbers drop every Sunday morning when I weigh in. That's my weigh-in day, and I'm seeing the numbers change, and I want to keep it going because it's going, and I can't say it's going in a positive way because it's going in a negative way, but it's positive for me.
We got it.
Is success? Yeah, I think when you see success in a church, and success in a church has to start with spiritual growth. I think that's the number one thing. Success in a church is spiritual growth, and from there everything else is a bonus.
Yeah, I come from I'm 60. For those of you that thought I was much younger from the tone of my voice.
What was the 1800s like?
So glad that we're not on video.
Yeah.
So my generation of at least where I grew up, we had this tension of coming out of the, well, not coming out of the 50s. I was born in 63. So... Wow. You know, I grew up kind of in the 70s, but we still had a huge emphasis in the Baptist church when I was young, on, you know, you just have to have salvation, yeah, more baptisms, and more salvations, right? Baptisms.
Yep.
How many baptisms did you have?
Yep.
And it started, you know, in the 70s, that whole sort of up and to the right, these numbers in the Baptist church started to trickle off and started to curve downward. And then it sort of, you know, and there's this massive panic among particularly Baptists. And I don't know if other denominations went through this as well, but there's a real panic about, you know, we're not seeing as many salvations, baptisms. And my generation kind of said, whoa, we need to disciple. People need to grow spiritually. We're 100 miles wide and paper thin as a church. We got a lot of people that know Jesus loves me, this I know, but that's all they know. They don't know anything. They have no depth. So I don't know what, but I think you're right, Matt. That was our heart cry, and sort of my generation, when, you know, we were like, we got to have some depth. We got to have substance. It can't just be a salvation message every Sunday morning. We want, we want to know Jesus. We want to walk with Him. We want it to make a difference in our lives on a daily basis, more than just, you know, going out and handing out gospel tracts.
So the inverse of success would be stagnation, and I think in the church world, if we're talking to a pastor or church leader today that feels like their ministry is not growing, that there is not enough, maybe there's not enough finances or enough volunteers or enough people engaged at a level that they feel they should be at, stagnation can cause personally all sorts of identity issues. You know, that can make you think, hey, I've got this going on, or maybe I'm not preaching good enough, or maybe, I can imagine that it causes all sorts of stuff. So rather than ask this question, how can a church be successful, Matt, Phil, I want to ask you guys, if someone is in a stagnant state, which I'm defining here as the opposite of success, give me two or three bullet points.
As a church or as a person?
Either one. I would say as a person. I mean, we can start with a person, but what are a couple things that someone who is in a season of stagnation can do to get themselves out of it?
Matt?
The Phil? Church as a... Are we talking about
the church or a staff member? Or a staff member? Or pastor, yeah.
Okay. So I would say... One, the first thing I would do, and it's crazy that you've brought all this up, and I know everybody's going to be like, oh, this is probably part of the gig, but I literally had this conversation with my pastor literally Tuesday. Like, I don't want to be in a place where I get stagnant. Like, I want to stay sharp. And so putting things in place in my life to stay sharp. I will refer back to myself. Like, it can get very stagnant at being on staff. Like, you can get, you can, you know, it's, I don't know how to say what I'm saying, but what I would say is one thing that I do to stay spiritually strong is be in my word every day. And I think that being on church staff, if you're not spiritually involved, if you're not in your word every single day, then you could grow stagnant. But I also could say, if that's all you're doing is just getting your daily quote from the Bible app every day, that could be a stagnant situation too. But when I say,
don't be a verse of the day Christian.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you're just opening the verse of the day,
but that's all you get.
If that's all you get, yeah, that could be a stagnation. So, I think truly being involved, reading, meditation on the word.
Okay.
Just
We're going to go popcorn here. So Matt says, be in the word. Phil.
I think first of all, don't be a perfectionist about your life and about your feelings. Just because you feel stagnant doesn't necessarily mean you are. That would be my number one red flag. Just because you're not feeling it doesn't mean there's something wrong.
That's a really wise word. Monday gloom.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Just because you feel this way today doesn't mean it's true.
It has no basis in reality. Some of those feelings that we have, that feeling of stagnation, the feeling of depression, feeling of why am I doing this? You know, that some of that is just chemicals in your brain. You know, maybe you had too much caffeine the day before. There are 1,000 reasons besides there's something spiritually wrong with me that I can feel that way. And I have to tell myself, as someone who struggled for many years with depression, it doesn't matter how I feel. I have to tell myself that. Now, I'm not trying to gaslight myself. I'm not saying my feelings aren't legitimate if I'm hurt or if I'm depressed or whatever.
Sure.
But I then have to look at that depression and say, that doesn't define me. What's the truth? And so this is part of staying in the Word. What's the truth? So I would say, always measure your life by the truth, by what you know. Is it?
And not your feelings.
Don't trust your feelings.
So if Matt
he says, stay in the Word. Don't trust your feelings.
Don't trust your feelings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mine's going to be, get outside the four walls. Okay. So
good.
Get up and go. And that may mean physically going for a walk. Okay.
Yeah.
That may be doing something different, going and visiting another church. That may be taking a Sabbath from your church and going and being ministered to. I think that's one of the hardest parts that people who are not on staff do not understand about church ministry, is how difficult it is to not be in church. Because when you are in church, you're on, right? You're dealing with this. And even if you're bivocational, even if you're part-time, or even if you're not in a pastoral role and you're in an administrative role, when you come to church, you're on, right? And so many churches and so many church staffs do not get to come to church and just be, and just be ministered to and all that other stuff. And so Matt says,
sabbaticals, I think, are powerful.
Yeah. You know, and so in the Thriving Ministry podcast that Dace and I did for a number of years, where we said, hey, we want to create margin, avoid burnout, and lead successfully in ministry, you know? And so that Sabbath was part of that burnout. So Matt, if yours is stay in the Word, or get back in the Word, Phil's, yours is don't trust your feelings. Is that yours?
Yeah. No? Don't rely on your feelings.
Okay. Mine's going to be get out, get outside the four walls, go for a walk, go visit a church, go do something creative. Or if you're always in the creative space, do something mundane and routine. But get out of your normal schedule. Get out of your normal routine if you're feeling stagnant.
But I would also say, like, what is the metric that we can use for this? Like, you were asking me about me and my weight, losing weight, and I'm seeing the scale, so I have something to gauge upon that. So what is the metric for this?
For success?
Yeah. What is the metric for this? Because you can see spiritual growth in someone. You can see that, and you can see someone who is in their Bible. You will know someone who knows their scripture. You will know that there will be visible signs of that. But
I'm going to dodge your question and throw something back, which is in the camp metric world, you have two camps. You have someone who says don't measure anything, and then you have another camp that says measure everything. So by 10:15, they want to know how many kids were there on a Sunday morning, right?
Right.
And I think both are probably unhealthy. If you're a church that says, "Hey, we don't care about metrics; God will provide," right? Then
we just have to be obedient.
Yeah, then I'll say, you probably shouldn't do an offering count. You should just stick it all in the bank. You know, like everybody be like, of course, and we want financial statements, or of course we want to know how much money's in the bank. Like, you know, so it's not that. And so, Matt, I think to answer your question, I think what are those metrics? I think it's going to be dependent on the individual and what their role is and how they're contributing. If they have zero goals, one thing that I would love for the nominal church staff. And so I'm talking, if you're a church staff and your church is somewhere between, let's call it 100 and 500 people, is set some sort of goals. It is very easy to fall into a camp and be like, hey, we want the Holy Spirit to guide us. We want to grow. It's very, very easy or very common to not have any sort of goals. And also to go to extreme. But if you are, to answer your question, Matt, here's what I'm struggling with, is I would set something like
have a metric of some sort.
Yeah. I don't care what the metric right. is, or frankly, if you set it too high or too low. But if your metric is get up and go to work, that's not a good metric.
Yeah.
If your metric is,
it always bothers me when a church, although all churches do this, you know, my church, the church where we attend, the overall vision of the church is something like to see Tulsa radically transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And that's hard to measure.
It's very hard to measure that. Now, I also know they're very wise and they set little goals, goals underneath that, which is wise.
But, yeah, so that's a vision and a mission.
Right, and the vision is a little frustrating
right.
unless you bring it down, like you said.
Right.
And you said something else, and I'm just going to pick on this because I think you're answering it. I was going to ask. You said successful churches have action and commitment. Is that what you're talking about? Goals, action, and commitment. Right. I wanted you to elaborate on that a little bit.
So a commitment is not, so I'll start with commitment. Commitment is not something one time or a short-sighted thing.
Right.
So anybody
showing up every day, continuing to show up, see it through.
Yeah, Matt, you will not, and you will not get to your goal if you don't continually do it, right? In terms of your health, and I know you in a former life, or actually this life, you were a competitive triathlete.
Yes,
that you had to show up, you had to put in the hours on the bike and running and swimming to actually get there. You will not see any success by showing up once. And so for the pastors or church staff who say that Monday morning, hey, something's broken, I'm going to change it, and this is what I'm going to do, and they do it for a week.
Right.
Well, don't be surprised when that's not there.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think commitment to me, if you're committing to anything for less than 3 to 6 months, that's not a commitment. It's just not a commitment to commit to
having. So you're talking about brushing your teeth.
Sure.
Okay. It's not 45 minutes once a month.
Yeah.
Or one time for an hour and a half.
True.
It's for 60 seconds twice a day, every single day.
Right.
That's the kind of commitment you're talking about.
Right. The commitment to reading the Bible, which was Matt's number right. one point. Yeah, yeah.
It's if not you're only brushing your teeth for 60 seconds, you're not doing it long enough.
Okay. 2 minutes, okay. Whatever it is.
Eight minutes.
Dental hygienist now?
Yeah, right. If you have a commitment to read the Word, if that was Matt's point to get you out of stagnation, I don't think it will do you long-term, quote-unquote, good to read for 4 hours, for the next
right, right.
4 hours.
Right, right. Just go on a retreat and read the whole Bible. It's not bad.
And then not pick it up for 3 weeks.
Yeah, you don't pick it up for a year.
Right. So commitment is doing the same thing or being dedicated to something over a period of time. The action is then getting up and actually doing it. And so many people, how many people have you guys seen that are committed or engaged and say, hey, we want to grow a children's ministry? And they show up at staff meeting 15 minutes late, or they show up to work 30 minutes late, or
they show up to service at service time.
Yeah, or their car broke down, or someone's aunt died. That was awful.
Someone's pet's aunt?
Their aunt.
Their pet aunt's died.
I meant to say their aunt. Their aunt's dog died, but instead I said their pet aunt's. That's funny. So I think there's those type of people that always just maybe just have drama. And I'm not talking about someone specifically, but I'm just right. sitting here saying, you can have a commitment, but if you're not taking the appropriate actions, then that commitment doesn't really matter. I mean,
okay.
Phil, we've known people who have a commitment. Yes, I'll pick on myself. Yes, I want to be healthier, but I don't go to the gym that often.
Go to Quick Trip more often than I go to
the gym. We need to wrap up this podcast because I need to grab some lunch.
Getting hungry?
I actually want to go play some pickleball, but I don't think it's going to happen today. So what is church success? I think it is kind of those things. So it's action and it's commitment. And ultimately, I feel you disagree with this, but I think there will be a fruit. And now that may not be numerical, that may not be the spiritual depth. You may not be able to say they went from a 5 to an 8 right. over 36 months, but I think
I think there's numerical growth. I mean, even though I disagreed on that point, I think I was trying to make the point that you may not see the growth
right.
in the way you want to, and don't think you have failed.
And it's not just the number on Sunday morning. I mean, if you plant a church and you lose 20% of your congregation, that's a healthy thing.
That's a huge win.
That's really right. good. And I think it's okay to encourage your church members to go somewhere else. That's a whole different thing. Yeah. But I'm still sitting here going, hey, I think you have an opportunity, church member, church staff, church leader, if you're the lead pastor, to define what success looks like for you. And so we'll close with this. Regardless of what you think it is for a church to be successful, I would say, what does it look like for you to be successful in ministry? And you may sit here and you may say, hey, that's faithfulness over a long period of time. Okay. You may value 50 years in ministry more than 5 minutes in ministry, okay? So what is, through prayer, meditation, reading the Word, letting the Holy Spirit speak to you, what does success look like for you? Then take the action and the commitment to go see that. Be in the Word, as Matt said. Don't always trust your feelings, like Phil said. Like, take action. Get outside of the four walls. Go get out, go do something. And I think through all of that, you will ultimately be able to thrive in ministry. Matt, Phil, closing thoughts here.
I just have one closing thought. We have to, the metric that Jesus used, and I think that the scripture gives us in the New Testament, is the fruit of the Spirit. You said fruit, but I think that needs to be thrown out there.
That's true.
That your life, if you're a pastor, if you're a preacher, and you don't know how to love people.
Where is the love?
You don't have any humility.
Where's the joy?
You don't have any joy.
Where's your patience?
Yeah, exactly.
Where's your kindness,
jerk? Then there's a... That's not about anyone specific either.
No,
the views expressed on this podcast.
This is fair use.
But yeah, fruit of the Spirit has got to be...
check your heart.
Individually and as a church, as a body... We got to exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness,
amen.
Faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control.
Matt, bring us home. This is your closing announcement.
My closing announcements? Yeah, 100%. Success has to be measured by the fruit. I 100% agree with you, Phil. And back to my analogy of the grapevine, here we go, that before a grapevine... can make good grapes, and by good grapes, meaning grapes that can have enough sugar to produce fermentation for wine, it takes many, many seasons.
Ooh.
So it doesn't come overnight.
It's a long play.
It's a long process. It can take 3 to 5 years before this grapevine produces long-lasting fruit. So,
man.
So stay at it. You're absolutely right. It's not a 3 to 6 month commitment. You're not going to plant this seed in the ground and next week you're growing fruit to make good wine.
Progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
That's really good, Matt. And here I was this whole time thinking we were just talking about like the grapes that you would get at the grocery store. We were talking about wine. When in fact, he was talking about some new wine. Hey, if you are a pastor, church leader, and you found the Thriving in Ministry podcast, hey, we want to say thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for putting up with us for 30 minutes or however long we've listened. We've talked now today. Hey, we do this so that you can thrive in ministry. We do this so that you have an opportunity to get better, to see better fruit, be more successful. And hey, if you have tangible needs that you or your church needs, if you need help with your facilities or you got questions about media, you need someone to keep the books and do accounting, Talenton Church Services exists for you to create margin for ministry. So hey, thanks for joining us. We'll be back again. But that's it, baby. Produce some fruit. Get out.
Thank you.
Thank you.